Welcome back to Shnai Mikra, the OU podcast series on Parshat HaShavua. This is Menachem Liptag, and this week we study Parshat Matot. In today's year, we begin with the first Aliyah in Perek Lamed, chapter 30 in Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Bet, the second verse. Today's topic will be the laws of Nedarim, that is, vows that a person makes, taking upon himself either to do something or not to do something, as we'll see in detail very soon. However, the opening line introduces these laws in a rather strange manner, which will be our first discussion, and we'll see how that opening line relates to the topic of Nedarim. Vaydaber Moshe al Roshei HaMatot livnei Yisrael lemor. Moshe spoke to the leaders of the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, saying, Zeh hadavar asher tziva Adonai. This is the thing that God has commanded. Usually laws are first spoken by God to Moshe, and Moshe tells them to Bnei Yisrael, but this is the only time when we have a specific law for all generations, which is directed only to the leaders of the tribes. The obvious question arises, what's special about these laws that they're only for the leaders of the tribes? Shouldn't all Bnei Yisrael know them? Rashi explains that no, these laws are really for the entire nation, but this was the manner in which the laws were always given. Moshe always first taught the laws to the leaders, and afterwards the leaders taught the rest of the nation. We see that also in chapter 34 of Sefer Shemot, when Moshe comes down with the second Luchot in Pesukim Lamed Aleph and Lamed Bet, verses 31 and 32, Moshe first teaches the laws that he received in Har Sinai to Aaron and the leaders of Israel, and afterwards he teaches the laws to the entire nation of Israel. This happened every time Moshe taught laws, according to Rashi. Chumash doesn't bother to tell us that every time, but only tells us in these two specific instances, and from here I can learn out about every other time. If that's the case, why is this instance, the one that Chumash uses as the example? Chazal learned out from there that even though we need three people to do what's called Hatarat Nedarim, to annul a vow that someone makes, we need three people on the Beit Din, a Yachid Mumche, a single person who's an expert, he can annul a vow by himself. Ramban and many other commentators go in a very different direction. They claim that these laws were given only to the leaders of the tribes because we don't want people to know that you are allowed to make a vow. As the Pasuk in Kohelet says in Parakeh, Tov she'lo tidor mishetidor, it's better that you don't make a vow rather than make a vow. If we tell people about these laws, they may start making vows. And the rabbis shun away from that. If someone does make a vow, the leaders of the tribes need to know what to do in that case. But this is a type of law which we sort of want to keep secret. So let's continue now and see what these laws are about. Pasuk Gimel. Ish ki yidor neder ladunai, should a person make a vow to God, or should he make an oath to forbid something on himself? He should not profane his word. In other words, whatever comes out of his mouth, that he has to do. The rabbis make a very clear distinction between a neder and a shavua. A neder, where a person takes upon himself an obligation that relates to a certain object. Let's say, I want to give this animal as a korban. When it relates to that object, that's called a neder. When a person takes upon himself to do something or not to do something, with a chiv is what's called on the gavra, on the person himself, as opposed to the chefzer, to the object, then that's called a shavua. There's an entire mesechet, called mesechet nedarim, that deals with this in detail. This opening line was a general case. Now we go to a more specific case, as Pasuk Dalet will now explain. The isha, ki tidor neder ladunai, now should a woman make a vow to God, V'asra isar b'veit aviyah b'nura, and should she forbid upon herself to do something when she's still living in her father's house in her youth? Rashi explains this is not talking about someone over the age of 12, a bogeret, nor is it talking about a child under the age of 11, called a ktana. A ktana, what she says doesn't mean anything. When she's a bogeret, when she's 12, her father cannot annul what she says. It's only talking about this year in between, which is called a na'ara. The Shema Aviyah et Nidra, should her father hear this vow that she made, the Esara Asher Asra Nafsha, or whatever she forbids upon herself to do, the Charish La Aviha, should her father remain silent and not react, then the Kamu Kol Nidareha, the Chol Yisar Asher Asra Nafsha, Yakum. Whatever she says remains in standing, and she has to fulfill that vow. Vimeini Aviha Ota B'yom Shemo, but should her father deny and disagree with what she's taking upon herself to do, kol nidareha v'esareha asher asra nafsha lo yakum, then all of these vows, or anything which she says that she's not going to do or do, that is now annulled, v'adonai yislach la, ki eini aviha otah. God will forgive her for making this vow and not keeping it, because her father denied it, and therefore that obligation is annulled and she doesn't have to keep what she said. That's the case of a nara that has not yet been engaged. Pasuk Zayin, Vim hayot yeh le'ish, let's say this young girl has now been engaged. In the time of the rabbis, there was a waiting time period between erusin, between engagement, and nisuin, and they were married. Nowadays, at Jewish weddings, we do them one after the other. But during this time period in between, im hayot yeh le'ish, if she was engaged to a man, undareha leha, and she still had these nedarim that she had taken upon herself, or anything that she said that came out of her lips that she forbid herself to do. Her new husband, when he hears these nedarim that she took upon herself, if he's quiet when he hears these obligations, then these obligations that she took upon herself, they remain. However, but should her new husband, when he hears these obligations that she took upon herself, he disagrees with them, then he can annul these vows that she put upon herself, or whatever she said that she's forbidden upon herself, as we said before, God will forgive her for making this vow, and it's okay if she now goes against what she originally said, because her new husband is not willing to accept that. The neder amana grusha, a neder of either an amana, someone who lost her husband, or a grusha, someone who is divorced, now she's on her own, kol asher asra anafsha yakum alea, anything that she says, she has to keep. Vim beit isha nedara, if she makes the vow when she still is in the house of her husband, o asra isar anafsha bishwa, or she makes an oath to forbid herself in doing something. This case sounds very similar to the previous case, but now Rashi explains, this is talking about a nisuah, not someone who is just engaged, but now someone who's already married. V'shama isha v'charishla, should her husband hear what she says and be quiet? Lo hiniota, and he did not say anything against it. V'kamu kol nedareha, v'cho isar asher asra nafsha yakum. Then anything she says stands, and she has to follow it. However, v'im hafer yafer otam isha v'yom shamo, but should her husband annul these vows when he hears his wife saying them? Anything that she said, any vow that came out of her mouth that she took upon herself not to do, is now annulled. It does not stand. Isha hafiram, her husband annulled them. Vadunai islachla, God again will forgive her. She can go against what she took upon herself, and God will not punish her. Kon neder v'choshvat isar la'anot nafesh isha ikimenu v'isha yifirenu. Any neder, any vow, or any oath that the wife may take to forbid upon herself to do something. Chazal understand in Masechet Nedarim, this is limiting the power of the husband to annul the vows of his wife. It's only vows where the woman denies herself some type of pleasure that he has the ability to annul, but other ones is out of his control. Whatever she says, she still has to keep. When this Nara is under the reshut of her father, then anything that she says, he can annul. When we're talking about a nesuah who's already married, any vow that this wife will make, which has to do with denying herself from doing something, called inui nefesh, limiting something, some pleasure that she would want, isha yikimenu, her husband can let it stand, or her husband can annul it. In the next pasuk, we find one other limitation. Pasuk tetvav, v'im hacharesh yacharish la isha, miyom miyom, should the husband remain silent when he hears this vow on the same day? Rashi explains, miyom yom does not mean 24 hours from day to day, but rather on the same day before sunset. Ve'kim et kol nedareha, o et kol asareha asher aleha. Then, because he was quiet, the vows that she took upon herself stand. Hekim otam, ki echarish la biyom shamo. They are now standing because he was quiet when he heard them. And even if he changes his mind later on, it's too late. Pasuk tetzayin, v'mafer yafer otam achrei shamo. But if later on the same day, but not immediately, he annuls the vow, then he's responsible for sin because she thinks it's okay, and what he annulled did not count. This confusion now is the husband's responsibility, and he is now responsible for something that the wife does wrong. These are the statutes, these laws of Nedarim, are what God commanded Moshe, between a husband and his wife. ben av v'bito, or between a father and his daughter, b'ne'ureha, beit avia, in her youth, in her father's house. These are the laws that we just studied, the laws of Nedarim. This ends the first Aliyah. In tomorrow's Aliyah, in Sheni, we return to the narrative of Sefer Bamidbar and the story of the war against the Midianim.